Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. I am the Asian Ministry Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. This podcast is to serve to network Asian American leaders in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have a special guest. His name is Daniel. And Daniel, we had a great conversation for the last episode 1 and episode 2, and this is the final episode. And Daniel, I'm so glad to have you today. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing well, thank you. And thank you again for this opportunity.
My pleasure. And thanks so much for sharing your heart and your passion. Today, we are going to talk about Asian Americans for the Great Commission. I believe that God has a special, special plan for Asian Americans to be in both culture, for them to have a natural DNA that God has already put in them to be in the both culture. I really do see that great potential for them to be a great commission risk taker for the kingdom. So Daniel, you mentioned that you came all the way from Florida to here being a seminary student, but you're preparing to be a missionary for the kingdom.
Yeah.
I love that. And I really want to see more Asian Americans to be involved in the Great Commission work in the future. Now, my question is, what is the unique benefit being an Asian American for the Great Commission?
Yeah, I would say growing up in a home where my mom was from Honduras and my dad's from Iran, I experienced both those cultures and understood, not to the full extent as they would understand their own culture, but I understood a significant amount and understanding American culture. I would say the benefit would be that really just understanding both cultures, being able to speak into and relate to Hispanics, Central Asians, whether that's Persians or other Middle Eastern people, but also being able to reach Anglos, reach Americans. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it as, in my own example, I look at it as an opportunity to go anywhere, because really being half, it's kind of funny, but really being half Hispanic and half Persian, mm-hmm. I find that I can blend in everywhere or anywhere. You know, the places I've been to, people ask me, you know, where are you from? Because, you know, I would look like I'm from that area. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I begin speaking, they'll immediately realize, oh, he's not from here. Mm-hmm. And so I think the benefit is that being a second generation Asian American, you're understanding your parents' culture, the culture around you, you're setting your own culture, mm-hmm. and you're using those opportunities and those things that you've learned within each culture to really reach and connect and build a bridge for the gospel to penetrate those cultures and to really change the worldview of the people.
Wow. I love that. Thanks so much for sharing that. Because a lot of Asian Americans, I have 4 children. They're Asian Americans too. I really want them to hear to this podcast, to really listen to the potential that God can use them for the Great Commission. Asian American listeners, I really want to challenge you to really consider this, because you may think about, you may struggle about your identity. You may think like you're a minority, you have nothing to do here, or when you go back to your parents' country, you have nothing to do there. Well, that is not true. You can actually do in both culture. You have a great potential. So, Daniel, I thank you so much for sharing from your perspective. Now, how do you describe the relationship between first and second generation Iranians in Florida or in general?
Yeah, so really I would want to take it back not just to Florida and the states, but really what's happening in Iran. First generation or the older generation is experienced you know, the Iranian Revolution and all this turmoil between the Shah and then having Islam. And then now there's a lot of people facing really just this bad taste of what Islam is. Mm. And then you have the next generation, and you see on the outside, they're the government, everything is forcing an Islamic Republic. But then on the inside of these next generation people, there's alcoholism, there's drugs, there, you know, sex, there's all these things that, you know, Islam forbids. Mm. But it's happening within the homes. It's happening within things. And you see that that's not just based off of, you know, the government can't force these moralities things. That's a picture of or a result of that man has fallen, and that's going to happen no matter what. So you have these new generations that are rebelling, but then you also have these new generations that are saying, we want to be free from all of this. We want to be free from just the traditions of the of Persian culture or the traditions of Islam. And so how does that look like in the States? You know, for me, it was, I want to be free from my parents' culture and then embrace this new culture that I'm experiencing in life. And we're seeing the difference really is the first generation. One example is you go to a first generation Iranian's home, and for dinner, they're going to have five different meals for you. But if you go to a second generation's home, they're going to have one meal for you. You're going to have kebab and rice, you know, or some kind of stew and rice. But for a first generation, you're going to have three or four different things with rice. And so there's definitely a difference within first and second.
Do you think there'll be more receptivity to the gospel among second generation Iranians because of their tendency to run away from bad taste of Islam or from their parents' culture? How do you think about that?
Yeah, so what's happening now in Central Asia and here is that, you know, they are disenchanted with Islam, and so they're either becoming more mystic and going back to their roots of Persian and Zoroastrianism, or they're completely denying the existence of God and becoming atheists. And so this aspect actually, which is interesting, is in my dad's life, he's agnostic, you know. And so that's been influenced by American culture and what he's seen happen in Iran, but because he's been here for 40 years. And so really, it's both and. We need to begin studying more philosophical things and learning how to help second generations understand how to think and the existence of God and all these questions that they're asking. But then we also need to show them that the love of Christ is true and that Christ is someone that they can trust in, and he's loving and he will not abandon them. And so they've seen what religion does and they don't want to have anything to do with it. But our faith is not a religion. It's a relationship with our Creator.
That's great. Now, America has a lot of people groups. And in North Carolina, we have a lot of people from Muslim countries, like from Syria, Turkey, and Pakistan, and Iran. And even in my church, we have families from Pakistan. Now, let's say I want to reach out to these Muslims. I want to disciple them, you know, sharing the gospel with them and really grow them as followers of Christ. What do you think the way of discipleship for those who are from Muslim background?
Yeah, so I would say very basic things. Understanding their identity, talking about 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, showing that that's not limited to only the Americans or somebody, some other elite group, but that this identity is available for all, for those who are in Christ. So casting the vision of identity, I would say in the Gospel of Mark, talks about the farmer going out and sowing the seed, and he sows day and night and he sleeps, and then he wakes up and all of a sudden there's growth. And so I would say really discipleship begins by them understanding their identity and then going and sharing it. When we see the account with the woman at the well, what qualifications did she have? She didn't have theological training or evangelistic training, which are not bad things and are needed within our local churches. But the only thing that qualified her to be a witness was that she knew who Christ was, and she immediately went into her hometown, which she was a person who was shamed, and she shared, "Is this the Christ? Come and see." So we need to begin showing practical ways of identity. What does this look like? And let's go and share that. And then also, like I said before, the basic things of, you know, what does it mean to be a man? You know, how does, you know, this is what Islam has been saying. This is what our Middle Eastern culture or Central Asian culture has been saying. But let's look at the scriptures and see what a man of God looks like. Let's look at the scriptures and see, how do we treat our wives? Let's look at the scriptures and see, what does a godly marriage look like? You know, what is a woman's identity within the scriptures, and how God views each different person, and how they can work together. And I think those basic things, really, all of that depends on identity and being able to really practice out, okay, this is what it looks like. Now let's go do this. Let me model it for you. Let me watch you do it. Let me assist you. And then now let me launch you and love you by putting you in the front and allowing you to do it so that you can reproduce that into other people.
That's great. That's great. Now, my final question is this. Many Asian Americans pursue material success through academic achievement. How would you challenge them to be Christ-centered and involved in the Great Commission?
Yeah, so I would say that academics is not bad. And if the Lord is calling you to pursue, for example, a aerospace engineering degree, give it all you have. Worship the Lord by pursuing that and excelling in that. If the Lord is calling you to teach in a public school or whatever aspect, you're a missionary. So a missionary is not someone who says, "Oh, I'm a missionary and I'm going to go overseas and share the gospel with others." A missionary is anyone who has been called by Christ and has been saved, who is an ambassador for Christ. So what does that look like in academics, in other areas where in Central Asians or in Central, or say Asian Americans, you know, they, especially second generation, we have the first generation pushing us to excel in academics. But if the Lord is calling you to be a full-time ministry, you know, do that. But if the Lord is saying stay in this academic world, pursue that, but don't let it become an idol. You know, what is your mission? What is the end goal? The end goal is the worship of Christ. So how can Christ be glorified and worship through your academics? Because those are mission fields, and those are harvest fields that are needing seed to be scattered on, where someone like me, I'm not in that realm, and we need to send people into the academics, into the public square.
Wow, that's great. So we're really challenging second generation Asian Americans to really realize the ultimate purpose of life. It is not about achieving their successful goal, but it is about the worship of our Creator, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that determines everything. Yeah. Wow, that's very powerful. Well, Daniel, my friend, thanks so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your life and vision and passion. And I do pray that God would continue to lead you and your wife to be on mission. And I'm very excited for what God has stored for you, for His kingdom. And really excited for other second-generation Asian Americans to be blessed and inspired by this podcast, so that they will be on missions as well. So yeah. Please join me in prayer for them as well. And thanks so much for your time again.
Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you.